Ephesians chapter 2, of course, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he describes us in our state where we used to be, how we used to be. You ever just sit around and think about how it used to be before you had Jesus, before you got saved, what your life was like? And as much as we may try to go back there and recall that, there are some things that we, when we're not in it, we just don't recall. So it was probably worse than we remember. How many of you ever sit around and think about the good old days? How many of you ever thought about the fact you complained the whole time? Right? While you're going through it, you said, oh, blah, 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 blah. And now you look back and you go, oh, it was so wonderful. No, it wasn't. But that's how it is. But as we look back at how our lives were before Jesus, before we got saved, it says in verse number 2, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world. We did whatever we thought the world, our peers, wanted us to do. We just wanted to fit in. We just wanted to be accepted. We all have a desire to be accepted. No doubt about that. And by the way, if we as a family don't embrace our children and our family, they will look somewhere else for affirmation. They will look somewhere else to be accepted. That's the reason that gangs have a hold on these kids today. Not just kids, adults too. That's the reason that people go outside the marriage for their fulfillment, because they're not getting it at home. You say, well, pastor, that's no excuse. I didn't say it was an excuse. I didn't say that made it okay. But that's why they do it. Okay, so if we want them to feel accepted and affirmed and loved at home, then we'll keep them from having to go look somewhere else. And the same thing in the church. If they feel loved when they come to church, if they feel accepted and affirmed when they come to church, they won't have to go look somewhere else to get that. Guys, we go to church looking to find that connection with God, but we also need that connection with others. Who wants? Look, if you wanted to go to church and feel isolated, just sit at home and watch it on the computer, like some of our people are having to do now because they can't afford to get out in public. And with the disease out there, with this virus, it's invisible. You never know if you got it or not. And so those who have a suppressed immune system have to be very careful about that. But we come to church, we sit together, we shake hands and we hug necks because we want to feel accepted. Visitors come to church. What if they don't feel accepted? What if nobody celebrates the fact that they came in? What if nobody shakes their hand and says, I'm glad you're here? They say, well, I guess nobody cared if I was there. So are they coming back? That's one part. They might come back. They might give it another try because the music's so great and the preaching's so fantastic, but... Somebody told me a long time ago, said, preacher, don't put yourself down. So I went the other direction. Y'all know I'm teasing. But they may come back and give another try, but if they don't feel like they're accepted, they'll find another place. We ought to make them feel accepted because they need Jesus. They need the Word of God. They need that fulfillment of spirituality in their lives. And if we don't make them feel included and they go somewhere else, they may not get it. So let's give them what they need when they're here. We walked according to the course of this world, whatever the world wanted us to do. According to the prince of the power of the air, we did whatever the devil wanted us to do. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, we were in time past children of disobedience. We did what we shouldn't do. We didn't do what we should do. We did what? What we wanted to do. I'll go back to this. I remember a time, and this has been, maybe 20 years ago, about that, I guess. And somebody said, well, Derek, how are you losing all that weight? Y'all know it's been a while now, don't you? How are you losing all that weight? I said, well, I eat an apple. I just eat apples instead of anything else, but I still eat everything I want to eat. And I know some of you heard this before. They say, you don't change anything that you don't have to avoid. I said, no, I don't. I eat whatever I want to eat. But you know what had changed? It's what I wanted to eat. That's the reason I was losing weight. is because my wants changed. When my behavior changed, my desire changed, then there were results. Now this week, thank the Lord, I had some carrot cake and some Christmas cookies. Not an apple in sight. But the point is this. The point is when our wants change. You see, when we were not saved, we didn't know Jesus, we weren't in church, we weren't reading His Word, we had different wants. But now that we're in church, now that we're in the Word, now that we spend communion time with God in prayer, and we want to show Him our love for Him, and we want to experience the fullness of that relationship, our wants have changed. The way we spend our time has changed. You see, it changed. We were children of disobedience doing whatever we wanted to do. And now as children of God, we should still be doing what we want to do if our wants have changed appropriately, accordingly. But see, if you say, well, I'm a child of God, but your wants are still according to the children of disobedience, something's wrong. I'm not saying you're not saved, because I know a lot of saved people that act up, don't you? I do. I know a lot of saved people that don't act saved, but they know Jesus. Their sins are washed away. They're going to heaven when they die. But they're going to miss out on a lot of enjoyment in this life because they're not walking with the Lord as their spirit. So we have that spiritual battle all the time. Just walk with God and you won't have that. Verse 3, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, doing what we want to do, whatever feels good, whatever makes me feel good, whatever makes me happy. You ever do something that doesn't make you happy because it's the right thing to do or because it makes somebody else happy? Yeah. In times past, we walked in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Not just because it made us feel good, but because we thought it would make us feel good. How many of us ever thought something would make us feel good and then it didn't? Anybody? And one of the things I compare that to is you say, boy, if I just had that, I'd be happy the rest of my life. Did that work out? Whatever it was, it didn't work out. I don't care what it was, it didn't work out. You say, if I just had that, I'd be happy the rest of my life. And then guess what? It didn't sound. That was the lust of the mind. You thought that would work. It didn't work. It's not how it works. And we were by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath or quarreling or conflict. How many of you like conflict? Not a single person raised your hand. But you love to complain? We do. Somehow we have adrenaline rush from conflict. Now, that's a fleshly thing. It's not a spiritual thing. You say, I don't want to enjoy it. I don't want to enjoy gossip. I don't want to enjoy conflict. I don't want to enjoy fighting. But I don't want to enjoy complaining. But think about it. Next time you complain, you're getting something out of that. There's something that's going on in your mind that's making you happy because you're complaining about something or somebody. Children of wrath. Verse 4. Actually, go to verse 12, if you will. At that time, you were without Christ. See, we're talking about before we got saved. How many of you ever even remember before you got saved? Some of us have been saved so long we don't even remember not being saved. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. We were strangers from God's promises. We didn't know what God's promises were. But God made promises to us. God made promises to us before we existed, before we knew God. God had made promises to us. But He says, we were strangers of the covenants of the promise. And then look at that next phrase. Having no hope. You see, before we had Jesus, we weren't looking forward to anything. Looking forward to Friday, to payday, to parties, to some fleshly fulfillment and satisfaction. Those things. No, This hope is much longer. This hope is much greater. This hope is much more satisfying, much more fulfilling. He said, before you had Jesus, you didn't have any hope. That's how it was. And he says, and you are without God in the world. You didn't have the promises of God. You didn't have the hope. You didn't have God. You didn't have his presence, his friendship, access to pray. None of that. We didn't have any of that. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were hopeless, even in that state of lust, even in that state of fulfilling the desires of the mind, even then, God loved us. He loved you. He loved me. Why? Because he's rich in mercy and his great love. He has quickened us together with Christ. What does that mean? It means he gave us life. He gave us something to live for. He gave us hope. He gave us love. He gave us life. You see, he says, before that, you were dead. Before that, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. But he has quickened us together with Christ. And look at verse 6. He's raised us up together. I'm happy where it says he raised us up. But as a church member, I'm happy where it says he raised us up together. Understand something. I want you to do better. I want us all to do better. I want you to be happier. I want us all to be happier. I want you to grow in faith. I want us all to grow in faith. You see that we have grown up together or raised up together. I don't want anybody to be left behind in faith. There's no excuse for a member of Capitol Heights to be falling behind in spiritual maturity. We ought to be reading our Bible, spending time in prayer. We ought to be faithful to church, helping one another, ministering to one another, and growing. Why are we ignorant of God's truth? There's no excuse for that. We have all of the access, all of the resources to grow in our faith. And we should be doing it. And Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he has raised us up together. With him. Together with him. And he has made us, verse 6, to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about what he's saying. Do you understand he's talking about this place? This is that heavenly place. We sit together in a heavenly place. What are we doing here? We pray. We go before God's throne. That makes this a heavenly place. We praise and worship him as they do around God's throne. That makes this a heavenly place. We open his word, which is the inspired, breathed word of God, which is around his throne. This is that heavenly place where he said he has made us sit together in heavenly places. He's talking about Capitol Heights Baptist Church. Of course, it's not the only place, but this is one of those places. A little taste of heaven. I heard it said one time, if you don't like church, you probably won't like heaven either. I've been to some churches, church services I didn't enjoy very much. But I'll tell you something, if being in the presence of God, you know what's missing a lot of times in church is God's presence. You know why? Because the church ceased being a church a long time ago, and it became a social gathering. It became just a place for people to get together and gossip and pat each other on the back, and they don't preach the word of God, and they don't pray to God, and they don't worship God. They just get together because that's what they've always done. Guys, we come to church today to sit in a heavenly place. This is our portal, if you will, to heaven. I'm glad Paul said that. Raised us up to sit together in heavenly places. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. through Christ Jesus. This is one you could probably quote. But how is God's love shown to us? How can I be saved? He says, for by grace. It's God's love. Are you saved? Through faith. Through faith. Through believing. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And you don't have to work for it. Verse 9. Not of works. Look at verse 8. It is the gift. How many of you worked really hard to get a gift this Christmas? If you had to work for it, it wasn't a gift. You earned it. He says it's a gift. Salvation by grace, through faith. A gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. I got to heaven. You didn't do it by yourself. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. It's not a reward. It's a gift. You don't earn salvation. I don't understand how people, even church people, even our church people sometimes are conflicted with the idea that God extended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. They struggle with the idea that an old, dirty, rotten, no good sinner can somehow attract the love of God to the extent that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross, to shed His blood, to wash away our sins. But that's how it is. You didn't earn it. God didn't look at you and say, because of your last name, you get to go to heaven. He didn't look at you and say, because you're good, you get to go to heaven. He looked at you and said, you're a scoundrel and I love you anyway. And I paid the price. If you'll accept it, I'll wash your sins away. That's how it works. And then somebody say, well, you can lose it. No, you can't. You didn't earn it and you can't maintain to keep it. But if you're not good, you'll go to hell. That's not what the Bible says ever, anywhere. It says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So what he's saying is that everyone, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know something. You were created in his image for his purposes. You didn't live up to it. You've chosen at this point in your life not to fulfill God's will in your life. That's your choice. But when you're ready, he's already paid the price and he will draw you in. If you'll accept him, he'll accept you, period. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's what the Bible says. If you're here this morning, you're not born again, then you're pushing God away and you say, I don't want it, and he will honor your wish. But the moment you say, God be my Father, make Jesus my Savior, forgive my sins, he will open the door and draw you in. Just like that. You say, well, since it's that easy, I'm going to wait. You know how many people died yesterday that didn't plan on it? You know how many people woke up in hell one day because they said, one day I'll get saved, but they forgot? They ran out of time. They ran out of breath. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Put your faith in him now. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Children of God, understand something. God saved us for a purpose. He wants us to get to work. He wants us to make a difference. He wants to show his love to others through us. Go back, look at what it says over here in verse number 7. That in ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. The world is supposed to look at the children of God and say, I want what they got. I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I want to have the joy that she's got. I want to have the peace that he's got. I want to have the hope that she's got. So what do they see in us? Do they see in us something worth having? Or do they see in us something to avoid? I say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want any part of it. And I'm ashamed to say that I have no doubt there's been times in my life where somebody looked at me and said that. If that's what a Christian is, count me out. But see, God created us unto good works. So that when people look at us, they say, if that's what Christianity is, sign me up. Show me the way. I want what they got. We need to live up to that. That we should, God has foreordained that we should walk in them in good works. Verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace. A lot of people today struggling. No peace. Fear. Anxiety. Hopelessness. He is our peace. Say, well, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've been struggling with those things. Draw near to God. He would draw near to you. Get in His Word. Read it. Get some time alone and pray. Just spend some time talking to God. Shut out all the noise and get along with Jesus. He is our peace. He has made both one and hath broken down the middle partition, the wall of partition between us. You see what He's done? He's taken away everything that says, well, that's for you and it's not for me. No, He said it's for everybody. You want to know there are people, I've seen interviews, heard interviews, people get on there and say, well, this is the way that I see my way to Christ. Let me assure you of one thing. He torn down the wall. There's no other way but Jesus. He has torn down the wall. There is no other way to God but by the Son. Well, this is what I believe, and you can have your belief. Let me tell you something. This is what the Bible says, and it's what matters. He has torn down the wall. This is the way for all of us to get to God. Verse 15, He has abolished in His flesh the enmity between the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You say, what about the Old Testament? He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. By dying on the cross, He has made peace. Verse 16, that He might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace. Look at what it says, verse 14, He is our peace. In verse number 15, making peace. In verse number 17, He preached peace. You want to know what people are looking for in Christ Jesus, in church, in the Word of God? You want to know what people are looking for? Peace. It's not hard to understand, is it? We just want peace. We just want to know that no matter what happens today, God is with us. And no matter what happens in this life, it's going to be okay in heaven. When your brothers and your sisters and your parents and your children die, what do you want to know? You want to know that they're at peace. That they have peace with God. That's what we want. We desire peace. Jesus is the way of peace. Verse 18, through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Both, He's talking about Jews and Gentiles, and He says, through Jesus, by the Spirit, access to the Father. One way. And He says, that now we're not strangers anymore. Verse 20, and we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Anybody who's done any building, you know that that single mark sets the standard. What happens if it's wrong? What happens if it's in the wrong place? We set it wrong, and then the angles are that way. It matters. Jesus is not the cornerstone of your life. You won't be straight. Your life will be crooked. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What's he speaking of there? He's speaking of the church. He says we don't have a Jewish church and a Gentile church. It's one church. We're all saved by the blood of Christ. That's how we get saved. Once we get saved, give our lives to Christ, then we're in that family of God. We're baptized, burying the past, risen to walk in newness of life together, working together, fitly framed together, an habitation for God. So that God comes here, the Bible says he inhabits our praises. Imagine that. God shows up when we start singing. God shows up when we start praying corporately together, when we're gathered together. What did Jesus say? There am I in the midst. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's important for you individually, independently, to get saved, to get right, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right now, you could pray and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me, and I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I give my life to you. You can do that now. But beyond that, become part of the church so that you can be part of God's building, part of what God's doing. You see, we're created unto good works. By grace, are you saved through faith? That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Let's stand. We understand what we used to be. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, you're not describing what I used to be. You're describing what I am. And I'm sorry that's the case, but now you can be set free from that. Now you can accept Christ in your life and put that all in the past. And let him change your life. And let them make peace. And let them preach peace. Let them bring peace in your life. God, live through us and love through us. Take this message and God, plant it in our hearts and apply it to our lives. That we will walk in your way. Not in the ways of the past or the ways of the world, but in the light of Christ. God, show us your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your opportunity to come. If you've got a burden or a need or a prayer, oh, I'll be glad to pray with you. Or maybe you just want to pray where you are. God will hear you. If you're here this morning, you say, it's time for me to take the next step. This is your opportunity. No holding back. This is your opportunity. Whatever God would have you to do. All hearts and minds clear. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. Now, we are going out of town this week, but I still encourage you to be here 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And we'll be back Sunday morning, Brotherhood Breakfast, 8:30 at Fellowship Hall. And we look forward to that. Any other announcements? Got lots of birthdays listed there. So if you take the time and call and tell them happy birthday, I know they will appreciate that. Pray for those that aren't here. You look around, we've got a bunch missing today. Combination probably of the holiday and the cold and the virus. All right, let's go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would. Mike Wright, would you dismiss us, please?